What's up, guys? Welcome back to Live with Lexi. If this is your first time, my name is Lexi Howell, and Live with Lexi H is basically a series of videos to encourage you where you are, where I sit down with special guests like this lovely lady beside me, and we get to talk about Jesus in so many areas of our lives through real conversation, laughter, and community. I'm so excited that you're joining. I don't know how you're joining, whether I shared it with you, a friend shared it with you, or Audrey and I, we forced you to watch this. Whatever the reason is, I'm so glad that you're watching. I believe the Lord is going to meet you where you are this Christmas season through this girl's testimony. And so I've got Audrey Ives, my little sis, with me on Live with Lexi. Say what's up, Audrey.
Hey.
So I'm so excited, first of all, that you're doing this with me. I know that you are a little bit nervous about doing this, but so am I, and I've been doing this. So don't even freak out. I know you guys are going to be encouraged by her words. So before we get into it, I definitely want to pray over you, Audrey, over you guys watching, and over this moment that the Lord is glorified by everything that we say and the things that we don't say. So bow your heads with me and let's pray. Oh, Father, I am just so thankful that you provide time and time again. I'm so thankful for the growth in Audrey's life. I'm so thankful for your love for her and your grace, giving her the opportunity to share her side of the story of this time in her life that has changed her and her family forever. I'm so thankful, Father, that you take something so tragic in our life and you make it into a testimony and as a way to encourage your people and to love them and to lead them to you. Jesus, I pray that by your grace and love and kindness and compassion that you would remove all nervousness and anxiety and fear and anything else that is trying to creep into Audrey's mind or her life. I pray that you would speak through her. I pray that what your sons and daughters hear through Audrey is just perfect goodness and grace of who you are, Jesus. We are your vessels. We are not the source. We are your mouthpiece. We are your heartbeat. And we pray that in Jesus' name, hearts are open. We pray that souls are saved. We pray that people are encouraged just by this interview today. You're so good, Jesus. And we love you and we give everything to you. Amen. Amen. All right, let's get into it. So just to let you guys know, Audrey, at the age of 16, endured something that no 16-year-old should have to endure. And she's going to talk about a journey and a part of her life that has changed her and her family's life forever. And so, Audrey, I am so excited for you to share something so deep and personal to you. So I remember on September 28th, a tragic thing happened to you and your family. You and your mother were involved in a car accident. And I just want you to talk about that night. I want you to talk about what you remember about that night.
To be honest, I don't really remember a whole lot. I remember I was at Jet's house that night and I remember pulling out of his driveway. And he waved at us like he always does. I don't remember anything after that until we got to the last stop sign before my house. As we were approaching it, I remember looking at my phone and the time said 10:21. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember seeing anything. I don't remember seeing a car or hearing anything weird. And I remember not being in a good mood, but I don't remember why. Mm-hmm. I remember the time. That's pretty much it. It's pretty weird.
Wow. So on September 28th, right, like I said, you guys were involved in a car accident. And the fact that you can't remember much shows the impact, I believe, of the car accident. But you and your mother ended up going to the hospital and you guys were separated with the hospital. You went to one and she went to the other. And you actually found out something while you were in a hospital. What did you find out at the hospital?
Well, they told me that my mother had passed away, and I had a couple of pretty serious injuries, and I was definitely not expecting either of the, I wasn't even expecting to wake up in the hospital, mm-hmm. and I was kind of, it was just kind of weird, because where I woke up, I didn't know where I was, but I know that family and friends were around me. When I woke up, my Aunt Lisa, she came over to me and she quietly explained, okay, you're at Wake Med, you were in a car accident, you're going to be okay though. And that wasn't what I was worried about. I wanted to know where my mama was. So I asked her, where's mom? She said she was at a different hospital. She kind of said it in a weird way. So I was kind of like, okay. I kept asking and everyone thought that it was just because I was on medication and because of the head injury, but I knew I asked more than once. And no one, I didn't really believe what they were saying. So I was like, okay, well, where's my dad then? They said that he was getting clothes from the house and I was just going to wait until he got home, not home, but to the hospital to ask him about mom. And it felt like hours, but I know it wasn't, but it felt like hours until I finally saw him up through the door and I was super excited to see him. He walked through, he had a smile on his face and I kind of ruined that. And I was like, Dad, where's mom? And his smile faded and he knelt down beside me and he was like, Audrey, she didn't make it. And he couldn't get that out before he started crying on my shoulder. And I was just like, that cannot be true. I just kept thinking that over and over again. And I was just in shock. I didn't really know how to react, but my body reacted for me. I started crying. And I don't really remember exactly what happened after that. But of course, the rest of that day, everyone was just kind of sensitive and we were all sad. But that's what I remember about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually was able to go into the hospital room with your dad and Maddie to be there for support. And when you talk about that moment where he just couldn't even get it out before bursting into tears, that was honestly how it went down. And I remember seeing your face and you were just shocked at the news. And then the next thing I saw was you weeping, right? As I'm wiping tears and Maddie is trying to be strong and hold back tears. Like, it was just a moment that I'm so grateful that I could be there for you guys, but it was a moment that was just so heartbreaking again, because you're 16 and you were just coming home from your boyfriend's house, you know, and life changed so quickly. You don't remember much about the car accident. And you mentioned about that you had some serious injuries. Could you talk a little bit more about exactly what your injuries were?
Made me laugh when I heard it, because I had never broken a bone up until this point, the first two bones that I ever broke. I fractured my skull, and that led to an epidural hematoma, which is bleeding between the skull and the membrane that surrounds your brain. And obviously, that's putting pressure on your brain that shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was in critical condition. And I actually recently did some research about it, and if I had been left untreated for a certain amount of hours, I would have been brain dead. So that kind of scared me a little bit when I read that. And then I also looked up what the possible side effects would be from the surgery, and they were headaches and difficulty walking, loss of sensation in certain areas, paralysis, and I could have also been in a permanent coma after that. So it really broke my heart to think about what my dad might have been thinking as soon as he heard that that's what would happen or what could happen. Mm-hmm. And you know, he had to send his daughter into surgery for that, or she would definitely be dead for sure. And it just kind of broke my heart thinking about that. But the second injury was I fractured my pelvis in 5 different places.
Wow.
Those were the first two bones I broke.
Wow. That's
so weird. Like, a normal 16-year-old would have broken their arm, but no, I want to be different. I broke my skull and my pelvis.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so weird.
That's so crazy. Of course, you just want to be different. Like, I'm going to be a little extra this time. I'm going to break this and this. And I mean, that's crazy. Is there anything else that you broke or was bruised or anything else?
I did have a couple of scratches all over my body. There were definitely a ton on my legs and my feet because I was found like 20 feet from the car. I don't know how I got there, but I had scratches all over. And but other than the head injury, the pelvis injury was not a big deal at all. I didn't really even need surgery for that. They just gave me an x-ray after I walked around for the first time. Mm-hmm. And walking around for the first time was a lot of fun because I didn't get up for like 3 days while I was in the hospital. And then they told me, all right, you get to walk around today. And I was like, yay. Yeah. I had to have a walker and I just walked across the room to a chair. But then they took me to go get an x-ray. They wheeled me around in a bed. I didn't know how relaxing a bed with wheels was until that. It was so cool.
Add that to your Christmas list.
Yeah, a bed with wheels. But I had to use the bathroom later that day because, you know, I didn't go in 3 days because I couldn't move from my bed. So they took me to the bathroom. I remember getting out of bed and back into bed. It was so painful. Like, it was even painful to, like, cough or sneeze. I had to, like, pull myself up on the bed rails a little bit so that it wouldn't hurt as much. But I remember going to use the bathroom. I had a nurse help me. I sat down, did my thing. I tried to get back up, and then I blacked out for a second.
Wow.
I could still feel and hear things. I could feel myself falling forward a little bit, and then I could hear the nurse going, whoa, 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 and I was like, what am I doing? And then she sat me back down on the toilet, and I woke up, and I was like, all right, let me try again.
Yeah.
I made it to the sink. I washed my hands, and that was when I saw myself in the mirror for the first time, and I was like, you look like that. I looked so different. Yeah. Like, of course, this half of my head was bald, mm-hmm. and I had, like, 30 to 40 staples in my head, wow. and my eye was a little bit big, and it was purple and blue a little bit, and I had a drainer in my head, you know, to drain all the liquids out to help with the swelling a little bit. My eye was still swollen shut for, like, 2 days. Yeah. That was scary. The white part of my eye was a little red for a couple weeks. But I wasn't mad about how I looked. I was like, that's weird. But fun little fact. So the day that I went to go get my stitches and my staples out of my head, I actually noticed about a week before that appointment, I had staples in my legs for no reason. So I was like, hey, could you get that out? And he's like, sure. And so I asked him, I was like, why are they there? And he's like, I don't know. I was like, that.
Wow.
I just got uncomfortable for a second. I was like, why do you not know?
Yeah.
It's never comforting to hear that when a doctor says, I don't know. Yeah. But there was actually this one time I needed to go use the bathroom, and the nurse that was there, she was really nice, except she got really impatient with me when I was trying to get back into bed, and it was more painful to get back into bed than it was to get out of bed. So I took my time. I was trying to take my time.
Yeah.
Because I had to, like, pick up my leg and move it over a little, you know, just so it wouldn't hurt as much. She got so impatient. She got so mad at me. She grabbed my ankles and moved me onto bed, and it hurt so, so I wanted to smack her. I really did. It hurt. But I had to sit there for a minute and just let the shocks of pain calm down before I could move and get comfortable. But yeah, it was pretty painful, but it wasn't serious.
Yeah. I mean, that is pretty serious though. Like, brain bleeding and fractured skull and just the whole recovery process, because it takes a while. You were mentioning that you had to use a walker, which you did not like using at all, because you're so, like, independent and driven. Like, you're like, look, I can walk on my own. But recovery process, like, you had to use the walker to make sure everything was going well and repairing properly. But that is insane. So I want to talk about, you mentioned that you had how many staples in your head?
30 to 40 staples.
That is insane. But I want you to talk about that part of your body, your hair. You have, as we can see, beautiful long hair. And to see yourself when you were in the bathroom, to see that that part was gone, is there anything that came to your mind? Did you feel less beautiful? Did you feel the same amount of beautiful, more beautiful? Just talk about what you thought of when you saw half my hair is gone.
Well, a couple people told me that when they heard that I got my head shaved, they were like, uh-oh, because, you know, I've been growing this out since I was in sixth grade. It took a while. And, you know, I'm really proud of my hair. I'm proud of the length that it's at. But I remember when I saw it, I was like, dang, that's what it looks like. Mm-hmm. I wasn't mad at how I looked. I wasn't mad that I was missing half my hair. I was actually kind of excited about it. Cause I would get to grow it out and see what different lengths would look like on me. Like right now it's this long. It's not long at all, but mm-hmm. it's also so much easier to take care of shorter hair. Like it uses less shampoo. It uses less conditioner. It takes less time to like brush out. Like this, yeah. I have to brush out every 5 minutes. It's really annoying. The wind doesn't bother it. And I can just comb it out with my fingers. It's really easy. But, I was going to cut my hair for, I was deciding whether or not I would do that because, you know, I like the shorter look. But then I decided not to because me and my mom decided to let my hair grow out to see how long it would get because my dad, his hair got really long. His was 4 inches above his waist. It got really long. Yeah. So
I can't even imagine seeing your dad though with long hair right now. I'm so sorry, y'all. Like that just, it blew my mind. Anyway, continue.
Picture later. So my mom and my sister, they could never get their hair to grow past their bra strap. And once mine got past my bra strap, my mom was like, all right, we're gonna let that grow out and see how long it'll get. So it's still growing, and I had been talking about donating it for a long time. So when it gets as long as, you know, I don't know how long exactly it'll get, but when I decide that that it's long enough, I'll cut it and donate my hair. But yeah, I wasn't too upset about my hair. There was this really cool, there was this one time my family wanted to go to Cracker Barrel. This was when my hair was still really, really short. You could see the scar through my hair. Mm-hmm. And I was standing in line at Cracker Barrel. And this big dude standing next to me, he has thick black boots, black baggy jeans and a heavy black denim jacket and a black beanie. He was wearing black. He looked very scary, but he gets closer to me and he leans in towards me and he's like, I've got one too. And I was like, what? And he takes his hat off, he pulls his hair up and he shows me a scar that's all the way around the back of his head. And I was just like, oh, that's so cool. I just stood up and I looked at him. I was smiling at him. I was just like, this is so cool. And my dad, he turns around and he sees that this is happening and he's like, oh, that's cool, how'd you get that? And he was like, motorcycling accident. I was like, that's so cool, I got mine almost the same way.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything, I just stared at him, I was smiling and I was like, that's so cool, because big intimidating man and tiny little me have something in common. Wow. I was really cool. So after
that'll
that,
preach right there. That'll preach. Like, you know, the different. Ooh, let me back up. I ain't gonna do that. You just continue. Go ahead.
Yeah, but after that, I was really confident about how I looked, even though it was different. I had a lot of people staring at me ever since, you know, I was going out with my hair looking a little different.
Yeah.
But I wasn't embarrassed. I was actually like, this is pretty cool. This is how I look. I don't care. It was pretty cool to feel that confident.
Yeah, that's amazing. A lot of people would like deeply desire that kind of confidence with anything. Like if any of our clothing is just out of sorts or out of place, we just feel like, oh my gosh, like it's over, you know, I look this way. And it's just this negativity to being different. But your story and your perspective is, yeah, I look different than how I did months ago, but I'm confident in how I was then, and I'm confident in how I am now. First of all, the story of you and this big intimidating dude, for him to be vulnerable enough to relate to you, right? Showing you his scar. I think that talks about the kingdom of God as well. I'm not going to get into it because this is your story, but it's amazing to see, like, we can all look different. We can all go through different things, but there are some similarities. The baseline is that we all sin. We can all agree with that, right? Like, you sin, I sin. And mm-hmm. it's just this part, like, but grace is there. And we can look at each other and we can look at God and be like, wow, that's so cool. Like, grace is offered to me. Wow, that's amazing. There's a whole bunch of sermons that can come from that, but that's amazing of your confidence in your hair, of the confidence in your appearance, even though it changed. You're confident in your scar and the short with the long hair. By the way, that's a vibe, short with long. Okay, you're like starting a trend, maybe, we don't know. Wow, that is insane. And I'm just so excited for people to hear the rest of your story. So the next thing that I have for you is your physical therapy. You talked about getting up and getting down, how painful it was to get back into bed more than it was to get up. So I guess just talk about your physical therapy process. I know it was really special when you were able to go and walk down the halls and come back and all of that. So talk about your physical therapy.
Well, there's not really a whole lot to say about physical therapy. I didn't have that many appointments. The first couple times that I did go, I just had to do a couple of exercises laying down on a table, and they would just tell me what they wanted me to do at home, and they would tell me what they were going to do with me when I came back. And I did have to use the gym once.
Me too.
It was fun. I enjoy working out. They just had me do a couple of leg exercises in there. But when I walked in there, I was the only young person in there. I felt so out of place.
Yeah.
I love old people. Like, they were really nice and all that. It's just, that's when I realized I lived like an old woman for a little bit. I had to take like 5 pills a day. I had to walk around with a walker. Mm-hmm. I broke my hip. I had a wheelchair and I had a shower seat. I lived like an old woman for a little bit. It was really embarrassing, but I eventually, one day I came in and I saw somebody who was about my age, and he was, you know, I think he went in for like a broken ankle or something, and he came mm-hmm. in and I felt better, and I'm sure he did too once he saw me. I wasn't embarrassed after that, but they didn't have me do a whole lot the last few times that I was there. I think the last day was the most work I had to do. I just had to jog and skip around the track, and I had to go up and down the stairs multiple times. They got a step stool out for me so that I could balance on it just to see how I would do. And I did fine, and I didn't have to go back again. I will have a deformed pelvis my entire life. I won't be able to play sports ever again, so that sucks, but it is what it is. I did have to go to a couple of appointments just to see how it was healing. And the doctor, I think the last time I was there, he asked me, he's like, "So do you ever plan on having kids?" And when he said that, I got scared. I was like, "Am I not going to be able to have kids now?" Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, you might have to have a C-section in the future. And that got me thinking, since my pelvis is deformed, will that affect the growth of my children in the future? And I'm not going to worry about that right now, but I mean, that's a worry for the future.
Yeah, for sure. Wow. Yeah. That's crazy though, of how really the saying goes, is like, one moment can change your entire life, or you know, one for good, one for bad. But to see your perspective on a really bad situation, losing your mother, losing your hair for a little bit, the process of growing that back, the process of regaining back function in your body to where it needs to be, to know that you'll never be able to play sports again because of your deformed pelvis, like, all of these things are just hitting you. And at the time, you're 16, you just turned 17 not too long ago, but that's a lot for a teenager to endure and to go through. But I think I mentioned this with you, or maybe I mentioned this while I was praying for you in a prayer to the Lord, was that this has been written in your story by the Lord. Like, it sucks in some instances because you've lost your mom, but the growth that I've seen in you and the perspective shift and how you have this new mindset and confidence and appearance and who you are and all of that came from that same incident. And it's just so cool to see how the Lord has written that in your life, knowing that he can take, as it says in Genesis 50:20, with the story of Joseph, where what the enemy meant for evil, the Lord turns for good. And so though we don't know the whole story of why, you know, the Lord took your mom as he did and in that, but we can see the growth in you. And that is so inspiring for me as your big sister, but also for people watching this, and especially for your mom in heaven. Like, I know she is like beaming right now. She is so excited, telling Jesus, like, look at my baby girl. I know she's excited. And I just want to get into how life is for you. Describe it to the best of your ability, how life is about a year, oh, really, a little bit over a year now without your mother. How is that? How's life?
Well, in the beginning, it was really tough. I didn't really notice at first how distanced I was from everyone and how horrible I was being to myself. Like, I didn't eat a whole lot for a couple of months, and that didn't, you know, obviously that's very horrible to do. I got in the shower one day and I felt really dizzy. I thought I was going to pass out. So I was like, okay, let me get out of the shower, go get dressed, go get some spaghetti or something. And then when I got out of the shower, I sat down for a little bit, you know, just to see if I would feel a little bit better. But then I started feeling worse. So I was like, okay, just go get a granola bar. And so I got to go get dressed. Then I was like, you're not getting dressed, just go get a granola bar, you're going to pass out. Because I started feeling really, but I started eating normally again. I'm good. But I didn't really do a whole lot with my dad or anybody else, really. I think the most that we would talk was like 3 or 4 sentences a day. That's not a lot. And obviously Madison, she's moved out, so can't really talk to her that much. So for a couple months, it was just really lonely, really sad, and really quiet. My dad, he started dating Tara. He would go over to her house a lot, and he would stay out really late, which I discussed this with you a few times, that it's really uncomfortable for me to be left alone for that long. Most of the time he would get home around 11:30, which I don't really mind being home alone. It's just, I didn't like being home alone that late, you know? But a little before they got married, I realized my dad had been feeling a little worse than I realized. Or he'd been feeling worse than I thought he was. So I was like, okay, Audrey, you are going to talk to your dad more. You're going to do more around the house because he's feeling probably just as bad as you, or maybe worse, because he just lost his wife and his only daughter's not really talking to him anymore. You're going to fix this. So I started coming out of my room more. I started doing more around the house, and I noticed that he started feeling better. Like, he would tell me more jokes, and he would laugh a little bit more, and we would talk more. And I was really happy because I noticed that it made a difference. And ever since then, I had been very happy with how I started growing as, and, you know, I was really horrible before, and I was just always quiet, and I hated that. But I kind of have like this positive mindset now, and I'm really happy with it because I've never been this happy with myself before. But about a month ago, my dad and Tara, you know, they got married. And I had a lot of people ask me, how do you feel about this, are you gonna be okay? And I didn't know how to answer their questions, to be honest. I felt really numb for a while, and I didn't notice it until after they got married. I was just like, I don't like this. This is weird. I felt so numb that I again would not eat properly. I did eat one meal a day just so, because I hated how I felt in the past with eating, eating weird, and I don't want to feel like that again. So I only did that for 3 days, but I felt really horrible, and I eventually gained an appetite again. So I'm doing better now. And it was just kind of hard to swallow a pill that big, you know, like I just got a stepmom and I just got a stepbrother.
Yeah.
It's kind of a lot to take in. And, but it's been a little bit, and Tara's moved in, and I really enjoy having her around because she cooks. That was really nice. she helps out with the chores, and it makes me feel really lazy. You know, I like when things are dirty, but I also like cleaning, so I just feel really lazy. But I really like her. She's really nice, and she's really fun. So it's gotten a lot easier, and I think about my mom every day. I'm not ever gonna forget her for sure. Yeah, it was tough for a few months, and it's definitely better now. But it's better now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is such a journey for you, for Maddie, for your dad, for Tara. Like, you all have a different journey on what has just happened. With your dad losing his wife, taking a journey of dating again, and all of that, that's different than from you, because you're the daughter and you're experiencing this way, and you're trying to figure out, okay, Lord, what do I do with this? You know, you're confident in how you look, but there is this wrestle on the inside of you now that you have to overcome, as you did with the outer appearance type situation. So I definitely hear, like, throughout your whole thing was just this, like, process. You know, it's like everything was a process. Walking again, the grieving process, it's a process. Like, I feel like forever we are going to grieve over our loved ones, maybe not in the same way we did in the beginning, but like you said, every day you talk about your mom, every day you remember her, and I don't think that's going to change, like you said. And I think that's a beautiful thing as well, because she did mean so much to you, and you're so much alike in this driven mindset, and I am just so proud of you again. And I know people watching are just blown away by your perspective, but the perspective that you have is given by the Lord himself. Like, the enemy and the world's perspective is not like this, right? The enemy and the world's perspective is, I just lost my mother, my dad remarried, I don't want to eat, and you go more downhill until you hit rock bottom. The good thing about the Lord is that even if you hit rock bottom, which sounds like you did hit those moments, and you probably will in the future, like, the Lord can bring you out of that, and you have a different perspective. Like, us talking through FaceTime, like, I'm always like, dang, I need to be more like Audrey, you know, like, I have to have that better mindset. And you really do, which is such a tragic thing that just happened a little bit over a year ago. But now we're in the holiday season. Christmas is a few days away, which is insane. So I just want you to share with me, just what does it look like for you? Because you've already talked about your bonding with your dad, how you were intentional with that. So now that we're here in the Christmas season, what does that look like for you? What do you have any advice for people about this Christmas time who have lost loved ones? Anything in that situation? I don't even know if that question made sense, but rock with
it. Yeah, you have to kind of skip to.
Oops.
Do you want me to just go ahead and answer that one?
Go ahead and do whatever. Answer whatever.
All right. So, when you sent me that question, I was stumped for a while. I just answered it like a little over a week ago.
Yeah.
And it was actually weird how the answer came to me. I was watching a YouTuber that I've been watching since 2013, and I really admire all the work that he's done. He's just been bringing smiles to people's faces for years. And I was watching a video that had a weird title to it for his content, and the video was labeled pain, and I was just like, what is that? So I clicked on it. And it was just like a 30-minute video. Like, it was entertaining because he would talk about some physical pain that he's gone through his entire life. Like, when he broke his arm when he was 7, when he burned his hands as a teenager, you know, like, he would laugh at himself. And when I finished watching the video, I actually took something out of that I didn't really expect. I didn't expect to take anything out of that video, but I kept thinking, he said the same thing after every incident he described. He always said that he never took anything negative out of it, only the positive things. Mm. And so that's when I realized I've kind of been doing that for the past few months. Yeah. Like, I lost my mom, but I found a few positive things from her death that kind of started to make me feel better. Yeah. And it was definitely difficult to find a positive about a loved one's death, for sure. But I thought about it, and it was really sad to lose my mom, but her death had a pretty big purpose that I think I explained to you like a long time ago. Yeah. Her life had a purpose as well. Like, she changed her husband's life, she had 2 daughters, but when she died, she had affected my dad's life so much that he felt like he had to give a testimony about how she changed him. And mm-hmm. when he did, I think over 20 people at temple were baptized that night, and I thought that was awesome, you know. Yeah. But then I think a couple weeks after that testimony, he told me that it was viewed in other states, like mm-hmm. New York and California, and he said it even got to Australia. And I was like, wow. Wow. That's a lot of people. Uh-huh. So I was like, dang, mama, you really did that. Like, she was the reason that happened. And I was like, your death had a pretty big purpose, mama. I hope you know that. I was so shocked and amazed. And that's when I started to look at things in a more positive way, because yeah, I lost my mom. That sucks. But thousands upon thousands of people probably got baptized and saved because of that testimony. Wow. And so I just got really excited about that. And after I realized that, I started thinking about my first night in the hospital. Yeah, it was a horrible day. Sorry, my phone did something weird.
Yeah, you're fine.
So it was probably the worst day of my life. You know, I was in the hospital. I found out my mom had passed away, and that really sucked. But I remember that night I was alone, and I was about to go to bed, but I was just like, Audrey, you should probably talk to God real quick. So I did. I was like, okay, all right, God, I just had the worst day of my life. I found out my mom's gone. I was in a car accident, but I want to know what you want me to do. You did this for a reason. I trust you. Every horrible thing that I've ever gone through, you've always shown yourself to me somehow. What do you want me to do now? What do you want me to do for you through this? So as soon as I asked that question, he said to me, he was like, Audrey, just sit and rest for right now. And I was like, you just spoke to me. Uh-huh. I was like, that's so cool. And so that's obviously what I did. I was in the hospital, couldn't really do much else. I think this actually, what I'm doing now is what part of what he wants me to do. After I thought about all those positives, I realized that's what really helped me during Christmas last year, mm-hmm. was thinking about my mom. She wouldn't want us to be sad. She would want us to remember the good times that we had with her. Like, when I was sad, when I was having bad days, she always tried to make it better. Yeah. She never wanted her kids to be sad. She never wanted anybody to be sad. She would always do things for other people. So I kept thinking about it. I was like, this Christmas, I'm going to try to make it as normal as possible. I'm going to try to just keep smiles on people's faces, because yeah. Mom would not want us to be sad at all. She would want us to remember her, but also have fun with each other. And that's what I did. And I think last year we had a pretty good Christmas. I don't remember being really sad too much during that Christmas. I know thinking about positives is a really hard thing to do when you've just lost someone. But you know, it takes a long time to heal, and that's totally fine. Like, I've still got a lot of healing left to do. But since I've taken positives out of the horrible situation, I think I can, the way that I'm healing, I think that I can help others heal as well. You know, like, we'll go through it together. Like, I've got you. Yeah, I just think that keeping a positive mindset and thinking about your loved one is just really, really helpful. And I'm talking to Lexi.
Say hi.
Yeah.
Hey, Lex.
Hey, Tim.
Listen, I was like, who is she talking to? I never hear her laugh like that. Who is she talking to?
The one and only. You know.
You know it. It's good. You look good.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Say hey to the Live with Lexi people.
Hey. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, once I started to have a more positive mindset, I kept thinking, every day I hope I'm making my mama proud, and I'm really proud of how I've grown as a person, especially at a young age. I don't want to sound like selfish. And like I said, I think this is the start of something big God has planned for me. Like, I was nervous to do this, but I'm more nervous about what he's got planned for me, but I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
It's scary, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
I hope this helps people, but I don't know.
It definitely will. I think all that you have shared, one, and we've heard it with Pastor Otney's sermons of vulnerability, and how vulnerability is, you're open to people attacking you, but you're also open to the Lord doing whatever he wants to do through you. And so your story is something that a lot of people can relate to, because unfortunately, a lot of people have lost loved ones, have lost some mamas, and have lost some daddies this year. And then people like me who have lost loved ones recently, in past years, like, those painful incidents still hurt years down the road. So your story and your vulnerability and your advice to look at the positive, to stay positive, to take this process and allow the Lord to walk with you is encouraging. And anybody, whether you've lost a loved one, lost a job, lost hope and joy, like, whatever you have lost, this can be an encouragement to look at the positive. And I think that is exactly what you're sharing with all that has happened to you physically, emotionally, things that have happened to you that has been out of your control, your outlook, your response. It's not a reaction. It is a response to say, hey, Lord, like, can you use this? Or, hey, Lord, I know you've written this, so use me how you want to. That surrender, that openness, the willingness that you have is inspiring to be 17 in a world that is so not Jesus. That's so inspiring. And if nobody else gets anything from it, I know I have, but I definitely know somebody watching this just needed someone to tell them to hold on to hope. And you are amazing, Audrey Ives. I am so proud of you and just all that you're doing. And I'm so excited for what the Lord wants to do in the future. You mentioned about how, like, you're excited, but you're scared out your mind. I think that's the Christian lifestyle, right? We're so excited for the Lord to use us and to do things through us, but we're like, hold up, I'm a little nervous. Take it slow with me, Lord, you know? And you are so amazing. I promise you, you are so good. And I love you so, so much. Is there anything else that you want to share with whoever's watching or anything?
I don't know if I said this earlier, but the reason why it was, I hadn't been through a whole lot in my life, but when this hit, it was like, it was pretty big, and it hurt a lot of people. And I had been through a lot of smaller things in my life that just kind of did a whole lot of damage to me. But this didn't, you know, it didn't affect me the same way, because before I would always bring something negative out of it, and it just took longer to heal. And I just kept thinking about it, and I just kept hating myself about it. But I think since I've been thinking about, you know, the positive things out of the situation, it's just a lot easier and easier to heal.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I said that earlier, but taking the negatives out of everything, I won't be able to see my mom in the future. I won't be able to do things with her. She won't be a part of my life anymore. She won't see her grandkids. And yeah, that sucks. But I didn't have to lock myself in my room and think about that all day. Like, she wouldn't want me to do that at all. Yeah. So I'm hoping that just every day that passes, and if she's able to see me now, I hope that I'm making her proud, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You are definitely making her proud. You are making me proud. And so many other people are just rooting for you, Audrey. Like, we are rooting for you and just what the Lord wants to do through you. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. But before you go and before y'all go, I want to pray again over us, because this has been an amazing conversation. So bow your heads and pray with me one last time. Father, I thank you so much again for Audrey. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for who you are to her, who you are to us. I thank you that you're a dad who never leaves his children. I thank you that you're our dad who continues to pursue us and to take these ashes in our lives and make them beautiful. I'm so thankful, Jesus, that you correct us when we're wrong because you love us. Your discipline is because you love us. And I thank you for Audrey. I thank you for your people listening to this today. I pray that you would encourage them, meet them, and love them, and lead them to you. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, Audrey, I love you so much. Y'all, I love y'all so much. And I'll see y'all next year. This is the last interview of this year. How exciting. But I'll see y'all next time. Bye.